Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
Stocks were attempting to regain losses on worries over the global growth outlook. Some countries struggle with the corona pandemic, and there are a lot of questions. This is the IG Trading Talk, and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me are Salah Idina Mumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and today he's at the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, so good to see you.
Hi, Manuel. Hi, Peter.
Hi, everybody. Great to see you guys.
Peter, markets are going up and down and up again. What is Wall Street keeping an eye on at the moment? What's the most important?
So look, you know, we really need, the market is a kind of thing trading in a certain range, in a trading range. You know, it's fascinating. Look, you mentioned it. We're talking vaccine, virus, volatility. The three Vs still seem to come into place. They are the most important. There are definitely headwinds in the market in general. We are sort of bringing together, Salah and I discussed yesterday. Let's talk about the last week of what's been going on. We had record markets trading at records once again a few weeks ago. Then suddenly the yield curve started to get hit. We started to talk about inflation. The Federal Reserve had some things to say. Some were positive, some were negatives in their analysis of the reopening economic story going forward, right? As they have been the driving force to the recovery, whether it's been a stock market recovery or an economic recovery, net, net. So we've seen markets trading at record highs until last week when we did see a bit of a sell-off here, right? So what exactly did happen in that sell-off? You know, it's very funny how people seem to think that one day makes a market, right? That the market's going up and marching higher for 12, 14 months. And then we have one day sell-off and suddenly it's doomsday and the world's coming to an end and all the bulls become bears and la, 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 la. And I tend to caution people not to get wrapped up in one day's trading because the market is very global. The information highway is incredibly huge with the internet, with all the trading platforms and, you know, everything going on. People's eyes, still most people sheltered in place at home. Some are starting to step out into the world. But their focus is millions and millions of new people, plus the investment community on the stock market, right? This is not your grandfather's stock market. I'm going to say it over and over again. There's a whole new democratization of people whose eyes are on the market. Whatever you got you here to be with the three of us, to learn about the market, we're all happy about. All the obstacles to entry of getting into the market are down. People with $100 and a cell phone can become investors and traders. We love that. Our fear is that people will start listening to the herd mentality, will start listening and getting strategic trading advice from the internet. And we beg people to not do that. So the market's getting a lot of attention. The market tells us that we're solid. There's still an appetite and enthusiasm for it. Yet, as we saw in the last couple of days, we do have days that I call the perfect storm, right? We have days where suddenly in Japan, the virus is out of control. They're going to start to shut down the Olympics, or at least viewership in person will be restricted. That, as that story starts to drift across the globe, we do see Europe in a reaction, a negative one, as people start to look at the reopening story, the fear of the virus and the variants coming back into play, that causes anxiety and fear. And as that anxiety and fear marches across the globe, we start to see sell-offs, 2% in Europe, and then we get to the United States, and we see an overnight market that starts to digest all this fear and anxiety and like saying, wow, we were at record highs just a mere 24 hours ago, and now everything doesn't look that great. Maybe I should take some profits. Maybe I should rotate out of some of these high-performing stocks. Maybe I should not be as much of a bull because we do have a lot of headwinds ahead and unknowns going into the future. Some of them are a one-day story like the Federal Reserve. Some of them are ongoing stories about unemployment. Some of them are trade war fears about Biden and China and delisting companies. So there's so many pieces of this puzzle. Some days they all come into play. Some days we're being fed them one at a time. Depending what we're being fed will affect on whether we are bullish for the day, bearish for the day. But at the end of the day, for me, I believe the market tells us what it thinks of what's going on. And here at the stock exchange, the market tells us that there is still an appetite and a positive sentiment. That when we do have these one-day sell-offs, two-day sell-offs, that they are just more buying opportunities than time to hop on the sell train and become a bear.
Salah, you have a new chart of the week. It's the DAX, the German index. And we can see when the DAX loses one day, it's pretty much sure that he will regain the next day. So what opportunities do you see here?
Yeah, exactly. In the last 6 months, you have been seeing that we always have been pulled back, seeing pullbacks that have been bored. And this is where, how can I filter them first? I need technical analysis. And if I look on the chart, we can see the EMA 55, which is the exponential moving average. And always, if we have been seeing this huge drop in one day, it stopped at least at the 55 EMA. And the day after, we have seen a pullback, a reversal back, because this trend is still valid. It's still an uptrend. Combined with this moving average pullback, we have seen trading ranges in the past and right now as well, in US equity markets as well. So correlation between DAX, S&P, NASDAQ, Dow Jones is really high. So you can see the same almost in the US markets. But we have been seeing pullbacks and a trading range. Breaking out of the trading range was exactly a trend continuation pattern. And exactly this is the situation where we are now right now. Last week, we pulled back on the EMA. We are still in a trading range. If we will break out at the above the range that we can see right now, exactly, this would be a trend continuation pattern, and we could activate new targets, 16,300 points almost in the DAX would be the next level that we can reach. Of course, I use also pivot points that you can see here, and they can show us that we have also support levels below this trending range, which is almost 40,800, really important in the DAX. So if you think that you could use this trend confirmation pattern with a breakout, you could use turbo knockouts, calls, that you will at least take knockout levels below this trading range to save, to reduce your risk. And if you want to take the other side and say, hey, guy, the correction must come August. Seasonal pattern show that this is a correction month, the worst month in DAX and also equity markets in the US. Then you could either decide to say, I'm going to take a put at least above this new activated target level at 60,300.
Peter, let's change the topic a little bit. There will be a global tax reform coming soon. It's especially for the big corporates that are running worldwide their businesses. Do you think it's a good thing that governments will have more control and get more taxes from these big corporates?
You know, to be perfectly honest, look, it's not some subject that I've ever addressed before. But, you know, here in the U.S., it's a real partisan problem. People believe that the Democrats are pro-taxing and the Republicans are not for taxing and whatnot. Look, we are trying to rebuild our economy, trying to rebuild the globe. We have had billions and trillions of dollars of stimulus to basically dig our way out of this devastating global pandemic that we have. There are some new infrastructure plays on the table here in the United States. And at some point, we need to find a way to finance all of them. It doesn't seem fair to me that as an individual, I have to pay 33% income tax. And as a corporation, I have to pay 37% income tax. But that a global institution or a global corporation can get away with finding ways of paying no tax, right? I mean, it doesn't make sense that a company can actually go to it. Look, we have a question. companies have left the U.S. because of our high corporate tax structure. They've gone to places where there is none, yet they can still do business with the United States. I believe that there's enough money being made. These companies, if we look at them, are massive corporations like the Amazons and the Googles of the world, right? They're making their business model as profitable into the billions and billions of dollars. Why it would they are allowed to go tax-free is absolutely crazy for me, right? So you know what, whether I'm showing what side of the fence I'm playing on or not, but nobody likes to pay taxes. Corporations obviously have a lot, much more of a complicated business model. But if you're profitable and your stock is trading at thousands of dollars a share and your business model is a profitable one to the billions after the pandemic, and we're trying to finance and get some kind of a payment tax structure globally that works so that corporations aren't moving around trying to dodge the tax structure to help pay for people, individual stimulus and whatnot, and infrastructure, then I think a global tax structure in the corporate range would actually be a great thing.
Peter, last week we have seen again, like I told you before, also in the DAX show, we see market is dropping red in a day, and the day after we see green lights, market is getting back. So people, I can see that also on Twitter or in other social media, that they say, man, I could bet that it will come out like it should be, but I didn't trade. So people always are in fear that, I mean, the last 6 months, you could already make a bet if the Dow Jones will lose 500 points, you can go long on the next day and you would have a hit rate now almost 100%. So for the next drop, is that a reliable strategy for people to think, guy, if the market is dropping so much, I'm going to blind long the market? Or do you think, no, guys, this is something you should never do. You need to take other things into your account.
I love the question. Thank you. It opens up the door to a lot of different ways to answer it. I will go back to your discussion about trends. Okay, so if you know, it all boils down to technical analysis, right? Markets net long-term go up. We know that. There are people who invest in the market on a long-term basis. I'm not your advisor or your stock picker, but long-term investment in stocks and not stuff is something I would recommend to anyone of any age. However, we do have people who are trading the market. We do have a huge new generation of people trading the market. We have volatility that started, it's always been around, but has definitely escalated. And it's like volatility on steroids since March 2020, the sell-off that was due to the pandemic and the forthcoming rally that got back to even in August of 2020, 3 months later. The crash of 07 took 8 years to go back to even. The crash of 2020 took 3 months back to even and has seen double-digit gains since then. We've seen it in the meme stocks, in the momentum stocks, that you're seeing stocks go from 2 to 80, back to 30, up to 40, back to 2. We're seeing stocks that go from 2 to 70, back to 3. We're seeing wild meme stocks, short squeeze stocks, internet-driven, wild social media-driven stocks, right? And what people need to really understand is, first of all, one of the basic trades in technical analysis is called a trend trade, which means if it's going one way, we want to follow that trend. If it's going down, we want to follow that trend. However, to pick the spot where you get into on the long side, a trend trade on the way up, is not when it's going up, but when it goes up and pulls back to a support level. It's like walking up the stairs, two steps up and one step back. That's when you're building a foundation to go higher. If things go straight up, it looks like a trend, but it's not. It's just a jacked up, hyped up stock. If a stop goes up in steps, like you're climbing a stairway, that is a trend. And you wait, right, until a stock, a market, a financial instrument, an indices, an ETF, a commodity, you watch it go up. And when it pulls back, and it pulls back up to the 55 EMA or any of the other moving averages, that's the opportunity to buy. So things that are going higher in intervals, four steps up, one step back, three steps up, two steps back. When things do that, they're building a foundation, right? And they are more likely to continue the trend up as it happens on the way down. We've got stocks that trend down. We don't sell them down. We wait till they sell down and retrace back up to resistance levels. These are key technical analysis criteria to get into a trend, okay? Into a trend trade. So as you described, you don't buy stocks that go from 2 to 70 because without any marching on the way, they just went up. That's because it's a short squeeze. They're getting hyped by the internet. People are hoping it goes higher and everyone's chasing an empty train. But if you know technical analysis, you understand the criteria necessary to get into just one of those trades, which is a trend trade, is when it goes up strong and pulls back to a support level. That means that we are building support on the way up and it will go higher. So this is a roundabout way to answer your question. Do we have enough data to know that every time a market that's marching higher drops 500 points, is this the beginning of a further sell trend or is this just a buying opportunity, right? Long term, history tells us that every sell-off we've had since 1929, 1987, 2007, 2020, just to name a few, have been net-net. These big crashes, consolidations, sell-offs have been long-term more buying opportunities than selling opportunities. If you sold into all the fear and anxiety at those times, you will have made a mistake. So from a long-term historic data, investing long-term opportunity, the answer to your question is yes. Every sell-off has net-net long-term been a buying opportunity. The 07 sell-off and rebound took 7 years, so it may not happen overnight. The sell-off in 2020 was a much quicker one because the Federal Reserve put $3 trillion in 2.5 months into the market, plus buyback everything at $120 billion a month. They put all their chips in to make it go higher. But it is not to say that every time a market sells off, we can look back at the GameStop phenomenon, right? GameStop went from 2 to 20, 20 to 60, and 60 to $483 on a short squeeze, on an internet hype, right? On a Wall Street Bets Reddit attack by the new young gangsters, right? People following your premise that every time it starts to sell off is a buying opportunity, if they did not use technical analysis, when it got to 483, and it got there because somebody paid it, somebody bought stock at 483. It didn't go there by itself. This is not fantasy land, right? Okay, so when it starts to retrace, people not knowing technical analysis or having an education in markets will think, well, down $100, it has to be a buy. They will have been wrong. Well, down $200, it must be a buy. They would have been wrong once again. So when stocks trade up in these vacuums, when markets trade up in these vacuums without the march up and they start to retrace, you need to go back to your technical analysis. You need to see where the moving averages are, where the pivot points are, and where the relative strength index is. In GameStop, from $483, the first spot of support used technical analysis was $151, down $300 from the high. Yeah. There was no other support. And it turned out it went all the way down to $150.78, right below that pivot point, and went up $21. If anybody bought it on the way down, they would have been very wrong and very broke. So you can use this same mentality in judging markets. When they stop going up and they do consolidate and sell off because of any number of reasons, an economic problem, a virus problem, a volatility problem, the pandemic is taking over, reopening story. When things stop going up so far and fast and they start to retrace, go to your technical analysis, whether it's the SPY, the DAX, the Dow, individual stocks, look for support. Look for relative strength index and look for the technical to set up correctly. because there you will have the probability in your favor that it's going to stop going down and start going back up.
Right.
Very important topic.
Hold it. Wall Street Global Trading Academy. Go check it out. It's a course that teaches you everything I just talked about. Risk management, stop orders, setting up your charts, doing the five technical analysis trades. You can go on my Instagram, download Wall Street Global Trading Academy, buy the course and learn everything that this man, Salah, knows, everything that David Green knows. And we give you, in the simplest form, all the tools to trade a market that goes up 3,000 points, goes down 800 points, goes up 400 points, and not get hurt. That's all I got to say.
Peter Tuckman, the legendary Einstein of Wall Street. Peter, thank you so much. And Salah Edine Boumidi, the head of markets at IG. Guys, appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, guys. Everybody, happy trading.
And thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk for this week. More information on IG.com. Thank you for watching. I'm Manuel Koch. Take care.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.